Hello and welcome to Dice Punks, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, the Kauai Riot Suppression Tank has detected escalation somewhere. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
Hey, I'm Drew, and I'll be playing Cato, the fixer at the protest, but a protest is no test, so may the fixer be an elixir.
I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Callisto Armitage, sometimes officer, sometimes revenant, just playing cop, regretfully, at the protest right now.
I'm Dez, and I'll be playing Luke Byrne, who has more of a hand in things than perhaps I should.
And my name is Nick. I will be playing Ing, an android drone operator, but for how long? None of us knows how long we'll play our role, so we have to make the most of it.
Hear, hear. Thank you, players. We can get right into it with our recap of last time, this time courtesy of Byrne.
You may have heard that there's a protest happening at G-Pol right now, with hopes to free the members of Slagpie being held on fucking terrorism charges of all fucking things. I can't advise that you come down. It's not a great time. Lou Tupper, who is at least nominally in charge of PSS, is a fan of Escalatio, and is repeating his past performance by giving orders to try to get children killed when he doesn't like what they're saying. He has a history of this. The audio of his body cam from the protest a couple of years ago, wherein another student was killed at G-Pol, the one that spelled the end of PSS's predecessor and allowed PSS to come into its current state of preeminence, demonstrates that good old Lou gave the orders that led to that escalation. It's not fully clear whether he wielded the truncheon himself. We may never know, and Lou would probably tell whatever truth suits him best at the time. I have it on good authority, my own, that this audio got spliced into local Let's Just Break Shit band Slug Jump's audio once tensions started rising. I may have some other homebrew tricks up my sleeves. This was after Lou ordered a kettle because he fucking wanted to get the protesters to start shit. See attached audio. This was after Lou called in Kumiko on the side of PSS's kettle that should have been left open to let protesters actually leave. This was after a local food vendor was prevented from leaving by the good officers flanking Kumiko. See attached video. In case things get really bad down here, and they might do so imminently, since Lou's called for officers to open up with tasers and any other weaponry to hand, see attached audio, but also called for Kumiko to deploy weaponry as if it fucking worked like that, see attached audio. But if things go south for your reliable informant on the scene, let it be known that PSS is being intensely pressured by cartel forces to be even more fascist than they already stand to be under Tupper's leadership. They're blackmailing him by threatening to expose his role in Maddie Zero's death. Let's let some sunlight poison that well for them, shall we?
Very well done. Can't speak to any attached video, but mostly the irrelevant attached audio can be found in our previous episode. convenient in an audio format that it works that way. We left off last time at a particular moment where things were escalating fairly rapidly, particularly at that rear of the protest where, you know, the presence of Kumiko was kind of stopping up the kettle, as it were. As Des mentioned there, Sim trying to leave to go get more food for his cart was getting sort of stopped and hassled, and this sort of attracted the attention of both officers and agitators, including NPC we met last time, an android going by Mr. Snuggles. We also had an officer get knocked down. Things are getting hairy back there. But at that point, Kumiko had begun to withdraw, announcing that it detected escalation, though without giving any particular specifics. So that is essentially the moment that we're going to pick up in. My understanding, Kato and Ing, couple blocks away, Ing's drones, more approximate to the protest, burn on the roof to one side of the intersection where the main body of the protest is taking place. Cal up on the steps, kind of on one end of the line on the steps leading up to PSSHQ, fairly effectively de-escalating that side of the police presence, in that little quadrant. Most of those, by no means all of the hesitation from PSS personnel is in that line on the steps. Those who sort of volunteered to go create a kettle are a little bit more, on average, enthusiastic to do loose bidding. But, it's certainly not 100% hit rate there either. That is sort of the frozen moment to which we return. And I believe we come back in precisely on Burn reacting to Kumiko's announcement and repositioning.
Yep. I am going to deploy the biochar. How do I do that?
Yeah. So as we sort of gestured toward when we were discussing how it worked down in the basements, it is a essentially like a throne thing, and it uses something approximating like a firecracker, propellant to whiz this stuff into the air. And your modifications basically amount to rebalancing the contents of that dispersal payload. What you have to do is simply huck the things where you want the center of the coverage to be. We established last time that we don't know exactly how big the effective zone is going to be. So I suppose, are you looking for this to be the middle of the proceedings, back by where Kumiko is?
Middle of the proceedings, where Kumiko is retreating toward.
Okay. So I think this is
so good. So that as much of Kumiko's like potential trajectory is obscured from, being accurate.
Sure. This could be a quick roll. So that's going to be plus two for you.
Holy shit. I rolled a 12.
Mm. All right.
Beautiful.
So you press the activation switch, on the little cluster of doodads and hone in and sort of whip it over arm from the roof over the heads of the crowd. Most people don't notice it, except those that it lands near who kind of hop back. It's kind of not quite directly between the nearest two of Kumiko's legs, but
I am booking it already towards another roof.
And a second or two after it lands, there is just a kind of like loud pop sound, and the whole road that Kumiko is moving sort of out via now becomes obscured from any angle in the protest proper in that direction by a glittering cloud of various doodads. to try and designed to try and obscure various wireless communication. And indeed, the main way that you know that it's working right away is that this cloud ends up being big enough to really damage the audio fidelity of your broadcast of the Tupper body cam audio. Still going on the slow jump PA, it starts getting scratchy and then blipping in and out.
Hopefully my moving to another roof can restore that.
Does begin to recover as you move. You don't lose the connection entirely. Now, this has an effect for the collective. The ones further removed from the site of the detonation just can't tell what's going on in that area. But for instance, Tiago, I believe, was the one you had landed on Cal's shoulder, is opposite your location from that cloud, and you just lose the feed from Diego entirely.
Sorry, Aang.
It's all right.
The PSS communications are disrupted. Cal, you are still able to get the sort of surprise chatter from those PSS personnel, including Lou Tupper, who are on the HQ side of all of this, but very garbled from anybody on a side street or in that back area. And the noise of the assembled crowd gets more alarmed sounding as sort of chatter gets louder and a little more frantic. As this also, and this may or may not be something that is immediately apparent, except I guess depending on what Kato is doing right now, but stands to affect coverage of the protest from outside of this area pretty strongly as well. I guess before we get into the exact results of all of this, having narrated that, any immediate reactions from our player characters to this development?
I mutter into the ongoing call now in my, with the phone now in my pocket. Mm-hmm. What the hell is going on?
Unless Hecate objects, I'm going to angle closer so that I can get an actual visual in person of the goings on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no objection here, though I do stick close.
Sure. Yeah. The two of you, not at all inconspicuously, but since most attention is not on your current position, probably
if ever
fine.
Two people this big could be inconspicuous, this is the moment. So we take full advantage.
Exactly. And so, yeah, you get an angle and you can actually see, the sort of cloud floating over parts of the protest here. And certainly Ing, maybe Kato, like you do recognize, like this looks an awful lot like your tests of the biochaff that you'd prepared. So you have a decent idea of what's happening here.
Yeah, I sort of make eye contact with Aang to see if Aang also understands. I give Aang a chaff knowing look.
I nod. Satisfied.
Cal, any particular? You said you muttered into the call. There is a general restiveness among the PSS officers in your area, and even Eddie Petty has kind of like paused in his moving forward and taser brandishing to see what's going on. Any particular action or reaction in your capacity as a body on the steps?
So to just to clarify, mm-hmm. it appears that Kumiko is moving away from mm-hmm. the center of the protest, having mm-hmm. sensed escalation elsewhere.
That seems to be the case, although your vision of that
or having sensed escalation.
Mm-hmm.
Your visual of that withdrawal has now been obscured because
is this causing enough of a distraction for me to slip away?
Quite probably.
I am going to take the opportunity, moving, if possible, parallel with Kumiko, just to figure out where it's going.
That's going to be directly through the protest if you're just going like straight forward. But if you go a couple blocks to what is your left, you could start proceeding in that direction without having to wade through anybody.
I'm going to try to avoid wading through anyone just because of the current climate that I've been observing. I don't want any civilians impeding my progress.
Makes perfect sense. Are
Do you mention that you're doing this?
No.
Okay.
Are you attempting stealth or just to sort of like mosey?
I am going to mosey and act like I'm participating in the kettling.
All right. Good deal.
Fake confidence.
Sure. Let's get a... What's this going to be? Let's get a cool head roll from you. See how convincing this is. So that's going to be cool and cool head, which is 2d6 plus 3.
And since I'm trying to convince cops, would I be rolling with any of my advantages or perks?
Good question. I do not have them committed to memory, so let's see.
I roll with advantage, and also have take plus one when dealing with police and other.
Okay. I see the plus one. Where's the advantage?
Comes with soldier.
Oh, okay. I was looking in the wrong spot. Yeah, good deal. So that'll be 2d6 plus 4, but you'll actually roll 3 and take the two highest.
Okay. I'm glad I did, because I am removing the one that I rolled. I am sticking with the 5 and the 4, so 9 plus 4 is 13.
All right, as far as any evidence you can see, you have gotten away clean, as it were. Everybody sort of just assumes that you're doing what they think you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to move in the direction that you last saw Kumiko moving in. Okay. As you move away from the protest, you'll be less and less aware of this, but Burn and Ada remove Kato and Ing. The protest is now essentially mass confusion. The protesters have a lot to keep their eye on and figure out. The PSS is not quite in disarray, but doesn't seem to be moving with one accord. There are sporadic bits of violence and attempted violence, but a lot of the protesters, in light of this deployment of the biochaff, have started to like intervene more aggressively to like pull people back and like assess. And even the enthusiastic among PSS seem to be experiencing some trepidation. Most of the real chaos is sort of like within the radius of the deployed biochaff, where confusion reigns. But particularly Kato and Ing will be in a position to see that Kumiko slowly and tentatively emerges from the other side of the chaff cloud, moving still away from the protest. And as it, sort of gets its sensor array clear of the cloud, it pauses for a beat to sort of like, reconnoiter, and then begins proceeding at a decent clip away from the protest. Not clear what its destination might be yet.
What do you think, Kato? Hecate, sorry. what do you think, Hecate? Yeah, it seems like it's a bit confused here.
Well, we got to keep eyes on what's going on here, and we got to figure out where that thing's going. I've got eyes other places in the station, but I can't guarantee they'll be where it's going, so my main concern for the moment, I think, is here, and Cal.
Speaking of which, do we see her?
Do we?
I'm going to do some brief trigonometry in my head.
You're a better man than I am.
That's a good good joke for many people.
I believe at present you still aren't getting your readouts from Diego, which suggests that as yet Cal has not moved into a position where the chaff cloud is not between you and your drone.
I am interested to know whether Tran and the rest of my drones are on the other side from me. It would give Tran the opportunity, if they're so inclined, to take control of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So just mentioning that as a potential story beat, it's entirely possible that the entire collective is not sentient.
I think right now you have pretty consistent signals from your flying drones and ones that are low enough to put a straight line between you and them intersecting with the chaff cloud are the ones that you don't have readout from.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that, you know, it is probably only a matter of time before your flying drones are able to sort of figure out the relative positions of the rest of them as well as of Cal. But currently, they don't seem to be doing anything particularly unusual, just, you know, sort of practicing their customary limited autonomy in sort of positioning and coordinating to reconnoiter, scout,
all right,
record data.
Sounds good.
So I don't think we have eyes on Cal currently.
It's got to be priority number one. Text Cal. Don't see you. Where are you?
Do either of you have eyes on the line in front of PSS HQ? Because I would be conspicuously absent from where you saw me last in that case.
Yeah, and your drones will be able to verify that Cal is not where you, so to speak, left
where
them.
Where you left them.
So we have eyes on where Cal isn't. That's actually probably good.
So, Cal, once you are around the corner from the PSS HQ steps where you were stationed, are you moseying, sauntering, walking, power walking, jogging, running, sprinting, dashing?
I am walking with purpose, but also with clear body language of not seeking to engage in any way.
Good news is not many people in this area. Those who, you know, were coming to the protest are either within the kettle or pressed in on the back of the lines of officers forming the kettle. And you are half a block beyond, you know, where that's taking place as you sort of move along one side of the protest. That's not to say the area is deserted. Very few main roads in this part of Grand Cross ever truly deserted, but no one does mess with you. This does mean that it is a somewhat longer interval. I mean, certainly not, you know, on the order of more than, you know, 5-ish minutes, but, you know, a long time in certain situations before Cal is going to clear the angle that will reestablish Ing's connection to Diego specifically.
I'm still trying to keep tabs all the while on Kumiko's position. I imagine the tank is not quiet.
as am I, for what it's worth, Adam.
Yeah, neither of you are in a great position to do this. The camera access stands to give Burn an idea, but only as Kumiko gets further away from the protest than it currently is now. And Cal, moving off to one side to be able to move parallel to Kumiko has cost you time. So you will probably be able to establish Kumiko's whereabouts, but not until you're clear of like the back of the protest, you know, and can kind of like start meaningfully catching up.
I realize this, I'm going to quicken the pace even more. Right. Still not running, because that would obviously attract attention, but walking as fast as I can.
We'll call it a hustle.
The cop power walk.
Yes.
There's got to be a clever little alliterative phrase there, but I just can't quite.
T-1000 casual.
I know the exact shot that you're talking about. It's great.
That was very good.
Yeah. So everybody is in one way or another kind of getting a sense for the situation. Now, this chaff is designed to stay in the air for a little while, but it does eventually start to settle. And it's around the time that the cloud starts getting noticeably thinner that everything sort of clicks into focus to a greater degree. I'm gonna narrate a couple of things here, but I'm gonna end on the bit that will sort of give us the opportunity to act. So, Burn, as the quote-unquote dust clears, you are getting cameras on Kumiko already a block or two in the direction that it was heading when last you saw it, away from the protest down the street that was sort of the outlet of the kettle initially. The area that the chaff was obscuring is not exactly abject chaos, but there are some sort of people being kind of like pulled out of the way to be treated for bruising and what we might call having been roughed up. Both protesters and a couple of PSS officers are in this position. There is a little bit of like a 3-foot demilitarized zone emerging between the sides as this all sort of clears. Sim has laid across the top of his cart. He doesn't appear to be injured or unconscious, rather seems to have been trying to protect it with his body. And the android in the lacy lingerie is standing dead center of the street that Kumiko is headed down, getting in a PSS officer's face. The picture from where Kato and Ing are is, I mean, showing the same things, but obviously from different angles. And Ing, you get contact back to the rest of the collective, showing that Cal is actually about to pass your position, moving away from the protest, but like all two blocks to one side of where the two of you are positioned, sort of circumventing the protest intersection by like a block and a half margin. Within that, Cal, you have not got eyes on Kumiko, but you can now, as you get further from the noise of the protest, hear Kumiko's PA system saying, "Please make way. Peacekeeping action incoming. Please make way. Peacekeeping action incoming. Please make way." The light Doppler effect as it moves at around 10 miles an hour. So you have an idea of where Kumiko is and where it's heading to. Now, the thing I'm going to end on here, and we can kind of get our reactions after this, is Kato, at long last, your efforts to keep your various contacts in the loop have borne fruit, because you get, let's say, an informally urgent message. Mm-hmm. You get an informally urgent message from a contact that you only know by their enigmatic alias HF, that reads, "Trouble at Event Horizon, parentheses, Brodrig, friend of yours," and then a picture comes through that shows Culex Entwistle laying on the sidewalk.
Of a kind?
In what condition?
Yeah, can we tell?
Unclear. You don't see blood.
Of a kind? On my way.
I'm going to make a telling
that
here.
it may be best to split up because things are popping off, as it were.
Right, you think I should go back to the protest then?
Do we know that Cal hasn't split from the protest? I don't want you in a dangerous place and not meeting your objective here.
No, I don't mean it. Know anything.
I mean, do have an idea of Cal's whereabouts now, and they are no longer in the immediate vicinity of the protest.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that case, splitting up, not sure that makes sense. Open to alternative thoughts, but maybe stick together?
If we don't know where Cal's going, then yeah, let's stick together for now. Could probably use you on whatever's happening.
All right.
The moment we know where Cal is, that can take precedence.
I mean, you do know where Cal is.
That's true.
That was in my little rundown.
Two blocks over.
Excuse me, about two blocks over from where you are, having just passed your position, Diego kind of reports in.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I will summon the collective to follow us to help to spread up kind of above and beyond our group to provide some reconnaissance.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Kato, I need a clever roll from you, please. That's plus two.
Sounds good. That is 10 plus 2, so 12.
Excellent.
Doubles or not doubles?
Not doubles. 6 and 4.
You are considering a lot of things very quickly here. And there is enough distance involved. It's not a huge interval. Selden District is not ultimately that big, though it has a lot in it. But it is entirely possible, given Kumiko's current heading, that it is going toward Brodrig's Event Horizon HQ.
Hmm. I'd said that I was on my way to where Culex is on the pavement. But if it's okay with the GM, let's say I typed that but then deleted it.
Sure.
And said, there could be a tank en route to you in case you don't have enough problems.
And also,
can he walk away from this, do you think?
HF gets back to you and says, I'm not particularly close, no clue, just saw this turn up and thought it might be of interest. You're the most proximate contact I've got to that. And then a separate message, whole area. Winky face.
Appreciate it.
Face emoticon, not emoji. HF has never in your experience used emojis.
These are my people. These are my people, for better and for worse. So I think I say to Aang, we should probably be en route to Cal since we have a known location. And as we're beginning to mosey, if you will, I message Culex.
Okay.
Say, how's it going down there? Yeah, right? Need a hand?
No immediate response. You and Aang are moving in Cal's direction on an intercept course, if you will.
I am watching for the someone is typing icon with not no trepidation.
Mm-hmm. Has not come up yet. Burn. Probably about time to check in with you.
Once I find myself on a less immediately suspicious roof, I'm probably going to like plonk myself down in a place that obscures me from sight, but does not obscure me from Wi-Fi, and turn as many cameras as I can into eyes as possible, and also more broadly repeat in sequence, in alternating sequence, the zero audio and lose orders today.
Okay.
From basically any speaker I can suborn throughout the breadth of my reach.
Yeah. Certainly the most useful set of speakers is Slugjump's PA system. But you've got some others know, that you can use as well, more locally.
If there's any news, anything nearby, they get a speaker near them.
Mm-hmm. That's also probably mostly going to be through Slugjump's PA.
Cool.
But what your, as the chaff settles, especially what your camera network is able to tell you are the positions of the other player characters relative to you and each other, as well as sort of getting a, we call it maybe a composite bird's eye view of the protest area. And one of the things that
I'm recording the latter of those,
of course,
for later use.
One of the things that is starting to happen somewhat organically, I had mentioned before that when Lou ordered kettling, not everybody who was coming to the protest was already in the intersection. And so the cordon of PSS officers has the bulk of the protest in front of them in the intersection, but also a layer of fairly agitated would-be protesters behind them. As the contents of your alternating audio circulates through the crowds on both sides of the PSS officers, this total envelopment of three sides of their line starts to be a problem for them, as you know, they essentially have to reinvent the Schiltrom formation. They sort of do a little box to try and make sure that nobody has irate civilians behind them. So the protesters regain their freedom of movement on two sides of the square, at least sort of the left and right from the PSS headquarters angle on things. And start semi-concertedly trying to move the kettling officers to the middle of the intersection. It's a slow and haphazard process, but those two sides especially start to kind of get jostled so that they're in the middle of the crowd of protesters, and this allows those who are on the outside of the intersection and those who are on the inside of the intersection to sort of become one big crowd. Otherwise, you observe that Sim takes the opportunity to hustle his cart out of the vicinity, back to Izakaya Po'boy. You saw the relatively belligerent android in the lingerie sort of duck into a building that, as far as you're aware, is a residence, and you know, haven't seen them since. And otherwise, most people have sort of pulled into the intersection as best they can. I had mentioned a couple of unfamiliar NPCs through Cal's POV last time, but the thing that particularly gets your attention, I mean, not particularly, but like the one thing that you take note of among all these other things, I suppose, as you are sort of reviewing all of this different footage, is that the cat girl in the first aid getup has sort of put a little informal cordon up where people who need treatment for, you know, taser fire, abrasions, bruises, maybe one looks like a concussion. You know, that is sort of a little space that this cat girl medic has opened up. And, you know, you can't help but notice that she seems to be aided by what you have to assume from its movements is a robotic cat. Seems to be sort of bringing her whatever she needs from her kit and hissing at people who get too close. and you were also watching during the disabling of the IMX drone outside of the frontispiece. So you see the person who did that is also helping establish the cordon around this cat girl medic.
Okay.
Jumping out of that locale to a couple blocks away, Kato, Ing, it takes you, you know, let's call it 2.5 blocks of hustling, but you do sort of meet up across an intersection, as it were, with Cal, who is hustling, I believe is the word I settled on earlier, on an interception course with Kumiko's progress.
Cool. Assuming I haven't heard back from Culex, one thing I do before we engage the hustling Cal is I send a quick message to Burn, just, you know, with the image and the location, and saying there might be something going on with the anarcho geezer, as he has called him.
Hang on, guys. I got to go get some business cards printed up.
Original character. Yeah, no,
this honestly sounds like a business card for Nia.
Maybe so. Yeah.
So
I send that off.
You do that.
So that it's not just me and someone not very interested checking in, but good that we're caught up with Cal.
Cal, you see, as you are approaching the next sort of cross street, Kato and Ing, who are very visible.
Before that happens, I would have texted Cal to let them know incoming friendlies.
So you see a little notification, or your phone buzzes, I guess, and you can choose whether to look at it or not. If you do, the notification is that message. And then regardless, moments later, you see Kato. Yeah.
The dots are green on your mini map.
And then the dots are green on my mini map. I do a double take, and then, for lack of a better description, lock in on Ing. I thought I told you to go home.
I interpreted that as away from the protest, so question mark.
I shrug and then point in the direction of Kumiko and say that I gotta figure out what that stupid tank is doing.
Sounds good.
If I can hear that by any means.
You can, because I still have the phone on.
Yeah, my understanding is the call's still going on.
Then I'm just going to give you like a Google Maps live trajectory.
Okay.
That's a really good question. What is this universe's version of Google? I got to come up with a stupid name.
Yes.
Gander Maps.
No, it has to be. It has to be the dumbest possible thing, please.
My first impulse is Gurgle, but that's not stupid enough.
I do love that.
I will get back to players and listeners alike on what this universe's version of Google is. Anyway. Rejoining the reunion.
I have thoughts, but they're a deep rabbit hole that we don't need to get into here. So we'll talk about it. If you want suggestions, I have a few.
So
three of our player characters are meeting up in this intersection in the slightly awkward way just described. The other one still on a rooftop in communication with them. We have both a trajectory and a hypothetical direction for Kumiko, as well as a location where something has happened to Culex Entwistle. I got to pronounce the T, Entwistle.
Does the trajectory line up with the Entwistle, or?
If we are considering the trajectory as like a prediction cone for a hurricane, Entwistle's location is just to left of center.
Okay.
By no means certain, but by no means impossible.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea what's going on down there? Over and above one guy getting, you know, conked, maybe?
I shake my head once.
Do I have cameras?
Not until you decide to go looking. But keeping your
can I have cameras?
Roles from last time in mind, you absolutely can have cameras.
Beautiful. Roll footage, as it were.
You have a couple of angles, nothing truly comprehensive, but you can see that Culex is still crumpled on the ground. You also don't see any evidence of blood. You can see breathing, but no specific information on what happened to Professor Entwistle.
I confirm to Kato that he's breathing.
Good. You can see feet in the vicinity of the doorway of Event Horizon HQ, but somehow conveniently they don't have a direct angle on their HQ's street facing. Fancy that. However, you can see two particular figures. There are a number of bystanders, but the two people that you take particular note of, there is a fellow who it takes you a second to place, but you saw him at Hahi's soiree. Didn't talk to him, didn't interact with him, but that's where you've seen him before. And he is on the edge of your selection of cameras kind of coverage. He's got whatever this universe's version of like the cheap brand knockoff of a GoPro is and sort of filming proceedings. You can see a bunch of glass on the ground in front of the Event Horizon HQ. And you can see an android, sort of femme presenting, very ordinary clothing, standing just off the sidewalk on the road in front of Event Horizon HQ, gesticulating in a way that suggests a conversation that could but has not yet escalated to an outright argument. The cameras in this area do not have audio, so you don't know exactly what they are speaking about.
If there is sort of a polite equivalent of knocking on somebody's communications, i.e. the android, I would like to let them... Or let her question mark know that Kumiko appears possibly to be en route.
Okay.
Ditto with the comms of the person from the soiree.
So yeah, you essentially what's the word I'm looking for here? Opt-in message the two of them about Kumiko incoming.
Nice.
You don't get immediate responses on footage from either, but you do know that your communication went through our other three. You are moving in this direction? Question mark.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. It's not super far away. Again, Selden District, not large. Though you do have a couple, call it probably 5 minutes of brisk walking, to get there. If you would like to converse or catch each other up during this time, that is fine. Otherwise, we will sort of hand wave that bit and describe the scene to which you arrive.
Has Byrne shared the information about what's on the cams with the rest of us?
Nothing beyond Kulix.
Mm-hmm. Still breathing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This doesn't necessarily seem squarely pertinent yet, because I don't have any audio information. It's just there are people there. Mm-hmm. There sure are people there.
Deep. Namely, just trying to figure out who to show up as. But I will proceed as normal in uniform until it seems otherwise appropriate.
Mm-hmm. There are benefits and detriments to both ways.
Yep.
I suppose it possibly depends on the degree to which the chuckle fucking chief would recognize you outside of your uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is perhaps one thing, not a major detail, but something that Byrne, you might have noticed, is that Tupper, a couple minutes ago, call it between 5 and 10, went back inside PSSHQ. Cal, he has not issued further orders over the broad channels.
Of course not.
I will make especially sure to get a time-stamped recording of his return inside.
Okay. It is done. Kato, Ing, anything in particular while you're in transit?
I think the only thing that I would say to Cal for now, Cal, when this is all over, I think that I could use a really big hug.
I almost falter in my steps for a moment and glance sideways at you. There's a beat of silence before I say, almost under my breath, "You got it, kid."
Nod, keep going.
I studiously do not. I try not to react to that audibly. but yeah, as we're walking, I am also making sure the wider network is up to date with anything that we know that they might not about, you know, a Kulix down, a tank en route, etc.
Mm-hmm. Do we know if what's his regretful face is there? Remind me.
Brodrick?
Mm-hmm.
You probably haven't any specific information about it, but Kato, you would have seen him streaming from his HQ between 30 and 45 minutes ago.
Mm. Yeah, no, I share that information, that he was on his bullshit, very much so.
If he makes an appearance, you both may want to be scarce of me. Unfortunately, we know one another.
All right.
Yeah, he's an unfortunate guy all around.
You have no idea.
Topic for another time, I think. Okay.
I do have one question for the DM that I've been wondering. Do we know whether Kumiko is sentient or just AI?
So the term I've used before is VI, virtual intelligence. At the very least, according to the patent specifications, Kumiko is not true AI like an android is. Kumiko is more akin to a very specifically designed and constrained like GPT model, right? The decision making is on a different algorithm than the speech generation is.
Okay.
But in both cases, it is much more of a heuristic algorithm than true sentience.
Understood. Thank you.
I would like to submit as a piece of horror for the audience a weapon system that can hallucinate.
Oh, no.
We'll have to talk about what's going on in Israel later, because, the worst case scenario is upon us. Hooray! If we discuss it out loud, I probably refer to Kumiko as more of a humunculus.
Wow.
That it takes a second to recover from that.
Yeah.
Look, the moment that Kumiko turns out to be more of an actual consciousness than we think, I am on Liberate Kumiko's side, but my understanding is that's not what we're dealing with. More like a heavily armed toaster.
Right. Not necessarily to be reasoned with, then.
You know, you've surprised me before with that particular technique, so I suppose it couldn't hurt to try, but, don't stand directly in front while doing so, maybe.
I point at Kato.
All right. At about this point, you are poised to turn the corner that will put you within 20 yards of the tableau outside of Event Horizon HQ. Are you attempting to move apart as a trio?
I would hold my hand up in the pseudo military gesture of like, hold your position.
Mm-hmm.
And keep moving forward.
Okay.
Yes, bike signals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kato, Ing, do you comply with that?
I do. My drone swarm continues apace.
Okay. And Kato?
Yeah, I would have hesitated just a moment to take my signal from Ing, but when Ing stops, I stop.
Okay. Ing, your drone swarm is able to start picking up the audio of the ongoing scene outside of Event Horizon. And the android standing kind of a little bit past the curb outside of the HQ is mid-sentence. Call it measured. In a way that suggests barely restrained rancor, you kind of remark, saying,
"And how do you know exactly who was responsible?"
The muffled reply from inside the headquarters does not seem to be coming from Brodrick directly, but a voice says,
"Bastard just had a brick in his hand when he came up. How exactly are you trying to claim he's not responsible for..."
The android interrupts.
"I'm not interested in circumstantial evidence. We have potentially a situation on our hands. This is not usually the part of Armitage that draws attention, and I am concerned."
Before the other interlocutor can respond, Kyle is headed into the intersection and everybody sort of turns to see who has arrived. You essentially have the floor for a moment if you choose to take it.
I don't. I'm still paying attention to where I'm hearing Kumiko, if I'm hearing it at all.
You have beat Kumiko here by probably a block. Kumiko is probably going to arrive in the next 30 to 60 seconds.
Okay. I start gesturing at the crowd to disperse. Be advised, Kumiko is coming this way. As a result of the protest, I would advise you to go indoors.
The android's interlocutor starts laughing in a sort of braying way. The android gives you at least the impression from the angle you're at of glaring. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the bystanders do start to move away. You get a pretty good view here. The crumpled form of who you may or may not particularly know as Culex Entwistle is...
Oh, I know him.
...laying on his side. Seems not fully unconscious, but kind of out of it. You immediately clock that this is somebody who is disoriented from having been very heavily tased. There is a group of a few people standing in the doorway to Event Horizon HQ, and from your street angle, you can see that the window that you were called in about before has been shattered again. They went with glass again. And you actually can see, too, that inside that space was a streaming setup, and whatever broke the window seems to have impacted the camera and mic setup and then impacted Max Brodrig's face. He has two bleeding lacerations, one on his forehead and one just to the left of his nose, and a very fussy employee applying ice and cloth to one than the other.
I just keep moving by.
Sure.
I don't feel like dealing with this today, and as long as they seem to be taking appropriate shelter, I might even step over Culex's prone form.
You don't have to step directly over him, though. You do sort of walk past where he is. The android...
You have the opportunity, though.
You'd have to go... You'd have to make it clear you were going to step over him, which I assume is not what Cal's interested in doing. No. But correct me if I'm wrong. The response that you do get, other than the crowd who's kind of watching this starting to disperse, is that the android sort of turns to look at you. This is an android with a sort of like a LED screen for facial expressions, mm-hmm. and gives you sort of a considering glance in the sort of glyph system that these displays typically use. However, the Event Horizon employee that was talking to the android before turns in your direction says, "Oh, well, it's about time. Can you take these agitators away?"
Sure. I look around. I don't believe any of them have blue hair.
He looks genuinely confused for longer than he probably should, as though he's having trouble processing what you have said.
Which exactly are the agitators?
His expression firms up into one of incredulity, and he points with one hand at the android and with one hand at Culex.
And what exactly do you think happened here?
He chuckles and he says, "Well, the asshole on the ground over there threw a plasteel block through our window and hit my boss in the face with it midstream. And then this sort of..." He seems to cast about for an epithet in a way that really undermines the force of whatever he's going to say next. And then he says, "Cyber bitch," pointing at the android. decided to make it her problem too. So if you could remove both of them from our workspace so that we can get back to sharing the news people need with them, then we would be grateful to you for doing your goddamn job. He's got three of what appear to be interns kind of like hovering around him. And they're kind of doing the belligerent boss version of the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, where one of them has sort of their hand pinching the bridge of their nose. One of them has like a hand on top of their head. And the other one is looking to one side, arms by their side, just kind of sighing heavily.
And this man was tased.
The Event Horizon employee you're talking to looks over at Entwistle and says, "Yeah, as soon as we figured out that somebody had thrown something through the window, I ran out here and used our security system on him. He seems fine to me."
So you didn't see him actually throw anything through the window?
There was no one else out here. Of course he did it.
Someone did go running in the opposite direction.
He gives you a look and he says, "Weird that our security system didn't pick it up then."
I would advise you get a new security system. It seems to be an ongoing issue that you can't capture the culprit on camera.
He makes an elaborate gesture. He says, "Well, when your antagonists are using trebuchets from two blocks away, it's frankly kind of difficult to set up an effective security system, officer. Now, are you going to do your job or not?"
"Yeah, I'll do my job. I'm not sure how much I can do until you get a better security system that will help me do my job. But in the meantime, where is exactly this taser? I need to verify you have permits for it."
He goes, reaches over to something inside the door and drops a discharged taser on the ground and says, "I'm going to go look through the filing cabinet for our paperwork." And recedes into the back of the office space. Things
with a little like heart emoji.
I ignore it, pick up the taser, and then not at the android. I think we should clear out of this area. Station's too busy to do anything right now anyway.
The android gives you sort of the LED screen version of like a half-lidded look and says, "You're free to do so, but, well, I feel responsible for this block. Meh. At least keep an eye on things." Crosses their arms.
"I appreciate that. Can you carry this individual?"
Android glances at Culex and then sort of, after a moment of consideration, shrugs and says, "Shouldn't be a problem." And moves over to Culex and picks him up in a very matter-of-fact Princess Carrie.
Both Cal and Kato get a text offering a demonstration of the deliberately poor coverage of the security cameras.
I glance at the text and then nod.
You get a text back that says, "By all means," with badass the art of a camera.
Fantastic. I also kind of nod in the direction of the android and say, "If I were you, I would go two blocks that way and then take a hard right. That should take you out of the path of the tank."
And as you are saying the tank, you are overlapped by sort of the repeating message that Kumiko gives, sort of walking up to this intersection, saying, "Hostilities detected in vicinity. Everyone, please go to your homes so that we can get a handle on this situation." Probably still 15 yards away down the road, but certainly if something were to happen that caused Kumiko to deploy its weaponry, everything in this intersection would be in danger.
Yeah, I step between the android and the professor and pull out my badge, flash it in the tank's direction. Mm-hmm. This area is under control.
Kumiko ambles to a stop just shy of coming into the intersection and addresses you, Cal, saying,
"Greetings, officer. Our heuristics indicate that this was an area of escalation very recently. Have all sources of potential escalation been taken into custody?"
"That is correct."
"Very good, officer. This unit shall proceed back to the last known location of civil unrest."
Swivels its head around and begins to proceed back toward the protest area.
"Actually, Kumiko?"
"Yes, officer," without turning her back around.
"There was potentially another suspect on the scene. They went that way," and I point in the direction further down the road, but in the opposite direction of where I sent the android go.
Kumiko swivels back around without taking another step in either direction and addresses you, saying,
"Thank you, officer. Could you please describe the agitator and the route they were taking?"
"They appear to be heading quickly, and I will, if I know of any typically unoccupied streets, that's where I'm going to suggest. I know it might be hard here."
"Yeah. Best you can do is a stretch a couple blocks away where most of the businesses would be closed at this time of day. You can give directions."
"And I'll mention that they are carrying a large amount of bricks and appear to have a giant claymore sword strapped to their back." The most nonsensical description I could manage.
Kumiko sits silent for a moment and then responds,
"Acknowledged, officer. This unit will seek guidance from its command chain,"
and begins moving sort of toward the next side street to go in the direction that you described. When you sort of return your attention to the area outside of Event Horizon HQ, the employee that you were talking to before is standing in the doorway with a manila folder looking like he just bit into an unpeeled lemon. And the android carrying Entwistle is standing about 15 feet to one side on the sidewalk near the wall. And as you turn, it is just in time to see a maintenance access hatch open near that android and another android decked out entirely in like EMT markings emerge from the basements and start looking at examining Entwistle.
I take the manila folder and just pluck it out of the man's hands and say, "Looks like the VIN number on this taser doesn't align with the one in the folder here."
He gives you a look that teeters between incredulous and apoplectic and says, "What do you mean? This is the only taser we've ever had, and this permit is up to date, officer."
"Have you filed your 2186B recently?"
"I'm looking this form up as it's mentioned."
"It probably doesn't exist."
"Just to confirm precisely that."
Weirdly enough, there is a form that goes by that designation. It is a very seldom used form for disclosing the possession and care of livestock on the station.
"Oh, I'm bringing that up."
The employee, meanwhile, looks at you like you have just started speaking in the pre-Tower of Babel language of humanity.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
What was the name of the officer that gave me a smirk and was clearly keen on tasing people?
Eddie Petty.
I'm going to say, apologies, but I have to take this into the office to confirm it. You can pick it up in after a holding period of 24 to 48 hours until we get the form from you. My name's Officer Petty, so if you need any assistance, be sure to ring me up. And then keep walking.
The employee attempts to glare a hole in your head as you continue to walk. We will come back to that in just one moment. It's been a moment since we checked in with our other three player characters. I'm going to start with Kato and Ing. You were standing side by side just around the corner from all of this.
I've at some point leaned over and said, Cal seems good at this. And I've also, of course, shared the offer that I don't think went to Ing, or rather Ohm, since we're doing crime names, that Byrne sent over about watch this in regards to the cameras.
Well, it was just a still.
Just a still. Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to be so bad at your job in just the right way. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see.
To see a job not worth doing done that badly is just poetry.
Yeah, job not worth doing, doing worthily.
Exactly. I'm not sure I could repeat that if you asked me to, but I agree.
Meanwhile, I'm going to see if I can just kind of document well the android medic responding to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Seems potentially worthwhile for the cause.
Yeah, you have pretty good sensor documentation of both the android holding Entwistle and the android medic responding.
I've also been checking in on streams to make sure the protests stayed in the de-escalating direction.
Yeah, so at this stage, it seems that the escalation had peaked and is continuing to fall off. A number of people are leaving the area, and apparently in the time since you last checked, some had already done so as well. Prior to that, the biggest potential sort of flashpoint is there is a knot of PSS officers kind of in the middle of the remaining crowd, who look like they would very much like to retreat to PSS HQ, but are sort of being purposely prevented from doing so. Otherwise, you note, perhaps unsurprisingly, Brodrick's stream, not active, got a technical difficulties screen up. And a number of the more provocative streamers have ended theirs. They're no longer watching.
Yeah, I share that info as well, that we seem to be where the action is, actually, for the moment. And this action, too, seems to be, you know, way less bad than it could have been.
Absolutely. Kind of curious about that android that helped Entwistle. Is she still in the area, did you say, or she's...
They are. Both androids are about 15 feet to one side of the Event Horizon HQ storefront, near a basement entrance, and in the process of just kind of giving Entwistle a rundown.
Yeah, they seem like people worth knowing. They were right on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with my eyes being elsewhere, the early party things. I'll let the situation continue to calm down, but monitor it with my drones, and at some point might head over, especially if the android is leaving the area, to introduce myself.
And I'll let the wider network know that Kumiko seems to have arrived where it meant to go and is not currently harming anyone.
Sure. Around this time, as this sort of moment of reorientation is taking place, Byrne,
Yes.
You will get a message from a burner account that is signed H. And it says, probably want to be out of the vicinity of PSS soon.
Okay. I will take the message to heart and, maintaining my connection at least through the duration of the such remains of the protest, will relocate back toward the frontispiece, probably by way of the basements, if I can still swing the connection.
Certainly.
Do you share the message with us?
I'll forward it to, yeah, Cal and to Kato.
I...
And then after like a 10-second delay, also to Ing.
I change my trajectory back towards the protest in PSS. And text Ramirez on my way. What's your location? You may want to clear out the building.
Ramirez replies pretty quickly, not even there. Winky face.
I send a thumbs up.
Now, around this time, the android medic has sort of finished checking Culex, and the other android has sort of sitting down in a sitting position, leaned up against the wall on the sidewalk, and the medic android proceeds to sort of like start pouring what seems to be an electrolyte solution, you know, into his mouth. You know, he seems like he's on the road to recovery. So my question, I guess, is, Ing, are you like approaching at this point, or are you still kind of looking on?
Yeah, I'll approach.
Okay. The the one who was talking to the Event Horizon employees sort of looks at you with a sharpness that suggests vigilance and then relaxes a little bit, seeing you. And once you come close enough for a conversation of casual volume, greets you, sort of raising a hand and saying,
Dev Random, don't know that we've met.
Dev, the name's Ing. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Are you... Pause, sort of with a expression on the LED faceplate of thoughtfulness. You in the network?
Depends what network. There's several, but I am part of the movement, if that's your meaning.
Dev nods, seeming to relax somewhat, and says,
well, what brings you to such troubled environs?
That's where progress is made, ideally. Speaking of which, it seems like you were involved in a bit of a kerfuffle here. Well done.
Dev sort of waves a hand and says,
happened to be in the neighborhood. Usually, well, usually more of a nocturnal creature myself, but lots of goings on today.
Glances down at the medic who is finishing up with Entwistle, who seems to be slowly recovering his senses. And Dev sort of looks at you and says,
do you know the Canny Valley? It's the nightclub I run in this general area. You should come by sometime.
Huh. It's amazing that I haven't gone yet. I will check it out. And Yeah, I look forward to seeing you around. I think that there's the night's not over just yet.
Dev's LED faceplate smirks and they say, "Why, it hasn't even begun." And then sort of taps the medic on the arm as the medic sort of finishes up with Culex, and Dev says, "All right, maybe let's go." And gestures further in that direction from the Event Horizon storefront. Dev does turn back to you, though, and waves and says, "See you soon, Aang. Nice to make your acquaintance."
"Likewise. I will see you soon."
The two of them proceed briskly away from the scene. Culex, for his part, is sort of looking at his surroundings, but remains seated for the time being. That has roughly overlapped some of the communication that Cal's been doing here. And I guess Kato, you hear from HF again, sort of very briefly, get a message that says, "What's the scene?"
"Well, much better than it could have been, in no small part because you let me know what was going on. Minor injuries, but no tank unloading on anybody, and nobody arrested."
And then I add, there's a beat, and I say, "So, thanks."
HF responds, "Welcome." And then another moment later, "Just got word that something may happen soon. You're not close to PSS, are you?"
"Closer than I'd like to be. Any word on what?"
"When you send that message, about a beat later, there is a sizable explosion from the direction of PSS headquarters. You don't see much from here, but you hear it quite loud. These kinds of sounds are particularly arresting in the environment of an O'Neill cylinder like Grand Cross."
"So, of course, like that,
everybody, perhaps for a couple of districts over, basically turns to face this sound." Burn.
I start sprinting towards it.
"Likewise."
Okay.
Yeah, same.
Burn, you are back in the basements when you hear this. You can tell that the direction it's coming from is the direction that you just departed from. Checking your cameras, mostly what you see is smoke in that area.
I assuming and I are about
is there anything that has any sort of clear visual? And is there any sort of playback that I can get any information out of?
Mm-hmm. To the first question, suspiciously, no. To the second question, when you look at playback, you can identify the epicenter of the explosion as being the rear of the HQ, more in the facilities section than the public-facing or office sections.
I pass that video bit along to Cal and Kato and Aang.
Sure. And now, Drew, you were saying something there that I lost underneath what
you're all good.
Des was saying.
Yeah, and I was just saying, as Aang and I are running, I say, "Those new friends of yours might be good to be in touch with shortly, maybe. Although it looks like maybe more gear was destroyed than people, hopefully."
"Yeah, bloody oath." "Yeah, I didn't get contact information. It's an oversight. Later. For now, let's go see if anyone was hurt."
Hopefully the shared interest is not actually relevant.
And this while you're both moving towards the area. Now,
due to your positioning in the street, Cal, you are a little bit ahead of your compatriots here. And coming toward the area where the protest was, you have a combined sense of relief and trepidation. One, relief that it doesn't seem like most of the people in evidence were close enough to the actual explosion for it to be a first order problem. Trepidation because this has sort of renewed the confusion and chaos of the situation. It's hard to get a good read on from where you are, but as you approach, there are a lot of people moving in seemingly a lot of directions and a lot of noise without a whole lot of sort of shared focus. Kato, Ing, you are just a little bit behind Cal in this regard.
I try to redirect any PSS officer that I encounter on the way from the protesters to the rear of headquarters.
This accords with what most of the officers are already inclined to do. And so, you know, those who haven't already cleared out, heed your instructions slash suggestions pretty quickly. It occurs to you that you haven't heard from Lou Tupper here. What's interesting is that upon that thought, you actually can look and see that his comm channel is open, but not transmitting any information. Sort of like if you had the talk button on a walkie-talkie taped down, but put a pillow over it.
Do I still have access to his device?
Yes, but it is not the one being used for this communication channel.
That's fair. The question is there anything further of, or anything new, rather, of note or interest, particularly as might relate to a self-inflicted explosion or something?
Mm-hmm. It appears that he has avoided using the device since you gained access to it. He may suspect that it has been compromised by your...
Okay. Tragic. Not shocking.
Yeah.
Tragic.
I pick up the intercom and like my radio and have request a sound off from all officers.
Okay.
And all, all staff on site.
Mm-hmm. You start getting some responses acquiescing, and you also get a irritating, moderate cacophony of officers basically being like, the fuck do you think you're doing? But the general sense that you get from all of it is that everyone you are aware of seems to not have been in the vicinity of this blast. What you also do sort of hear everybody, maybe probably given cameras, including Burn, will be aware of very shortly, is Kumiko approaching the PSS HQ at a gallop, for once not giving a litany of cutesy
The moment I catch orders. Side of that, that is, everyone gets a priority Google Maps.
I text Tama, Kumiko, and Bound, clear out.
You immediately get back, clearing folks out.
And I rush towards where the explosion actually happened.
Okay. This involves kind of going around the edge of the intersection where people are starting to disperse from the protest and sort of around sort of around PSSHQ to the back, faster than going through the building under these circumstances, to be sure. Kato, Ing, are you also following?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm in mid-stride as best I can. I'm continuing to alert the Fixer network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Burn.
I'm sure they're aware of the explosion, but I'm adding what context I can.
Sure. Burn, you have these cameras mostly seeing smoke and activity. You see not a message sent to you, but text superimposed on the feeds of the sort of first order closest cameras from first order closest cameras to PSSHQ. The superimposed text says, "Sorry," and has a little smiley face, and then all those cameras cut off.
Shit.
Cal, you're a little bit ahead of Kato and Ing as you sort of round the back, and you're pretty familiar with the layout of PSSHQ. And you immediately clock that the smoke is billowing from the exterior wall of where the holding cells are located. No one in particular is in evidence, which in and of itself, a little bit suspicious.
I'm going to continue to proceed in the direction of the holding cells and where the explosion occurred, seeing if I can, mm-hmm. if there's any indication of the device that caused it or any information that can be gleaned from the scene.
Okay.
I would like to ping Ali and KNB and Hockey, I think, as a third,
mm-hmm.
As to who they are aware of who might be able to remotely cut camera connections.
Mm-hmm. You don't get anything back from Ali and Haru immediately, but within a couple seconds of your message, KNB messages back. I mean, I can.
To KNB, I will further elaborate while I was using them with text overlaid on the image.
KNB replies, "Well, with the right tools, ...
Cool. Who has those tools? Because this just happened for all cameras that had eyes on PSS headquarters. You know, where there was just an explosion."
KNB responds with, "Oh," and then a laughing emoji. At about this time, Cal, you have come up to sort of where the smoke is coming out of the building. Not really thinning. You can see that there are only small fires. The sprinklers are going, so steam starting to move, mix in with the smoke. But as you sort of start to very moderately slow your pace to sort of peer in here, a figure emerges from the haze and the smoke with very dramatically neon lit garments outlining shoulders, biceps, sort of sides of the abdomen, outsides of the thighs in a sort of angry red.
Cyberpunk Darth Maul.
The first detail other than the lights that you're able to pick out is an extremely incongruous plague doctor mask. And that is where we're going to end our session.
Nice.
So thanks for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you'll join us again next time.
If you're hearing us now, then you probably know where to listen to this, but we can be found almost any place one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com and on Tumblr and Blue Sky as at dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks back on Earth, players.
Thanks for listening. Never a bad idea to know someone with medical training and to pick up some pointers from them, and beyond that, home is where the ohm is.
Thank you for listening, everyone. It sometimes pays off to do your job poorly.
Thanks for listening, folks. And anyone who seeks to remove your access to information is not to be trusted.
I'll leave you with this saying. Good help is hard to find if you're looking to hire a ninja.
And as the poet once said, another protest and the world is in distress, another bomb explodes, and another finger blames the press. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around through the admin stuff for Luke's Lies. The music in this episode, Augment or Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their other work at the link in the show notes. Editing and our rad new cover art was done by Joanne, who's a PR on the podcast now and again. Check out her work around the internet, where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics are by Spunks.com and by the one and only Officer Armitage, Robin. Hardwired Island is by Paul Machevic, Freya Erlingsdotter, and Minerva Janda. You can find Hardwired Island at etten.itch.io/hardwiredisland. Links to the system and authors can be found on the Punk Remar section of our website, dicepunks.com. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available to backers, including a patron-only Discord and access to the Dice Peaks After Show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
Have you ever been in a disaster? Has the world ever lurched in a way that changes things and left you uncertain as to where those things will go from here? Have you ever had the rug pulled out from beneath you and you only realized in the midst of the chaos that you did not know where your people are? Your parents, your friends, your coworkers, whomever, just not there when you need it? I don't recommend it. If you haven't, congratulations. It's best avoided if you can. Granted, it's rare that you have much choice in the matter. So in the event that you do find yourself in such a situation, the first thing to do, panic or otherwise, is to make sure you keep touch with what contacts you do have. Keep yourself safe, since the baseline assumption of this advice is that bad shit just happened, and no one who might be considered responsible for you is nearby. Keeping safe has several aspects, but mostly get away from the problem area and find such refuge as is available. If you're young enough to just glom onto a nearby, potentially trustworthy adult, now's your time. From there, it's a matter mostly of weathering the administrative systems of whatever government decides it's in charge of the aftermath. Don't sign shit without reading it first. If there's enough chaos going on, this may also be a good time to both alter your identity or to establish any backtracing you may need later. But that's veering close to advice on establishing a fake ID, which is not what we're here for.
Hello?